Hello, everyone, and welcome to Uncle Phil's Podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Phil. Woo, baby, I love my new song. All right. So anyway, right now with me, I have Chris Lynch, and he's going to help me out today, be a co-host. How you doing, Chris?
Good, Phil. What's going on, buddy?
Well, how's everything? Life is beautiful, right? Life is beautiful. Still working. Softball's coming to an end this year, unfortunately. My team
still playing?
Well, yeah. My team actually lost a very controversial game in the semifinals. Matter of fact, I lost in three semifinals. How crazy is that?
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Tell me about it. But it was a tag-up play, and it was a line drive, so both umpires were looking at the ball. Mm-hmm. And, the umpires called my guy out for leaving early when he would have scored. Now, having said that, I wasn't there. I was away on vacation, so I missed it. I can't tell you who's right and who's wrong, but it was a controversial play. So I could say it was and we played the best team in the league that's won, five championships lately, and five in 8 years, something like that. Something like that. And the fact is, they're defending champ, and we had them on the ropes, and we ended up losing. But it is what it is.
Stuff happens, man. It is what it is, like you said. Yeah.
Exactly. Great team, by the way. Great team. They're going to play this weekend in the championship, and I'm going down. I'm looking forward to seeing good games.
Cool. Sounds fun, man.
Yeah. So I know you're. You guys are all happy you got Trent Grisham back, 32 home runs last year.
Super excited.
I mean, can't replace those home runs. Come on.
Listen, I don't hate Trent Grisham, but it wasn't the plan I wanted here. And I think Cashman basically played a game of chicken and he lost. I was pretty upset about it. Again, Grisham's not a bad player. He's a pretty good defender. I mean, he slipped a little bit on that, but he's not the guy I wanted back. That's for sure. I was happy to let him walk. We had him for $5 million last year. He was a steal at $22 million. He's not a steal no more. So
I understand. Listen, you guys have a great, great young prospects, right? You got Dominguez, who pretty much couldn't catch a ball out in the outfield and wasn't really a home run hitter you thought he was going to be in his first season.
I mean, he's still 22 years old.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, Judge didn't make the major league, so he's 25. You can't completely judge a kid at 22. Will he turn out to be great? We'll see. Maybe he'll be an average player, whatever. But he's 22.
Now, I'm going to say that I'm looking forward to the offseason. I think this is going to be an interesting offseason because of the ominous loom of a potential lockout or walk off, whatever you want to call it, at the end of next season. So, the players have the control during the season and the owners have it after the season, right?
Yeah, totally.
Like I said, the Yankees, you got Dominguez, you got Jones in the minor leagues. Now Bellinger's a free agent, and you also had you just got Grisham back, and you got Judge in the outfield, you got Stanton at DH. You kind of clogged there. So I think all this matters, right? When you look at why did they sign him for a year, I think it matters because at the end of the year they don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean you don't know what's going to happen, but we could have done different things. With that $22 million could have been used in different ways. That's the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. I would have liked them to maybe bring in a cheaper guy to play center field. Or really, in reality, what I wanted was just Bellinger playing center field, right? So you sign Bellinger, he's playing center field, and that's that,
Okay.
And then you have guys on the bench. And then you have Jones, who is a natural center fielder. Also, Dominguez is a center fielder. He's not a left fielder. That's what he played in the minors as well. So you have those guys that could have played that position as well. So now you're in a position where you probably got to trade one, if not both of those guys. If you sign Bellinger, you have to trade both of them. Or you're just putting them back in the minors, which Jones, I mean, he's 20. He's going to be 26 this year. So, I mean, he's got to come up at some point.
All right. So is it possible that Cashman did this as a protection of losing Bellinger and not wanting to go out with a multi-year deal for him because they don't know what's going to happen in the bargaining agreement.
Yeah, but with the bargaining agreement, I mean, you're either going to have a guy locked up. They have plenty of guys locked up. You're going to have to still sign whoever you bring in to long-term deals. I think more what happened was, like, one, he's a good clubhouse guy, Grisham, and Judge really loves him, so that's part of it. I think they wanted, Judge probably has a lot of influence on the team and the say when, with players. He probably wanted Grisham back. I think that's definitely part of it.
Okay.
I also think they thought he was going to walk, to be honest with you.
And they would get the draft pick.
They thought he was going to go get a couple years from the team for, like, let's call it, $50 million, $60 million, somewhere in that range for 3-4 years and lock him up for that. And then he doesn't have to worry about next year with the bargaining agreement and all that stuff and the lockout. So I don't know.
All right, let me guess. His agent is not Boris.
I don't believe it's Boris. I mean, he's not big enough to be a Boris guy.
Because that's what happens. Boris will say, you're not taking that. We're going to go free agency. We'll wait. And it's annoying.
That's the problem with anybody trying to trade for Scooble right now, right? He's a Boris guy.
Yeah.
If you traded for Scooble, you're in the situation the Yankees were in with Soto, right? If you do not sign him, which he's probably not going to sign because he's going to wait till free agency, you're kind of screwed if he walks.
I think he's 2 more years, though.
No, he's got 1 year.
Only 1 year? Well, yeah, and that's the thing. The Mets, there's like talk out there, which, by the way, the talk out there is made up stuff by
totally
sports writers that have nothing to talk about.
Well, you have to. It's the offseason. You got to talk about things. Like I told you, the Tatis and Michael Kay thing. He's just bringing it up. It's not a real rumor, but it made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're talking about the Mets trading pretty much their farm system to get Scooble. And I'd rather not do that. I'd rather go out and get Joe Ryan. I know Scrubel's a better pitcher, but to empty a farm system to get a guy that might walk because he's Scott Boris's has him.
Yeah, that's the problem. Right? It's the walk. He may walk. Really, what you'd want to do is trade for him, sign to an extension, and then you got him for the next 7 years.
So before we get on to the Mets, let me just ask you, what else do you have plans? If you were running the Yankees, what else would you do?
Well, you're going to need to do something with that bullpen, right? So they just DFA'd basically our non-tendered guys, 5 guys yesterday. Not crying over anybody that they non-tendered, trust me. But you got to do some work.
Well, Mark Leiter was pretty good, right? For a period of time?
Up and down. Up and down kind of guy. He throws gas, but, not a guy I want to be relying on the whole time. So they're going to have to make some moves to figure out that pen. You still have Bednar. You have Doval, who's, in my mind, he's a project in a way. I mean, he was good with the Giants, but when he came over, he wasn't pitching great. He started pitching better down the stretch. But that's kind of, you got Hill in the bullpen. You don't have much else. So they're going to have to really go out and do some pretty big moves, I feel like, in the pen.
Well, there's tons of available bullpen guys.
Right.
Tons.
And they're going to have to do something there. I do think they should get creative with possible trades. Like if the Padres are legitimately – talking about selling and they're worried about money and any of those guys on there are available, like a Tatis, like a Machado, if you can figure something out, I would try to really go in that direction.
So if you ask me, Machado is a better deal for you guys than Tatis. Tatis is in the outfield. You're kind of log jammed already in the outfield.
Yeah, but that means not signing Bellinger.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say Bellinger goes for 180, 200 million. Where it's kind of getting too pricey, right? And you can't get him, and somebody swoops in and gets him. I mean, Tatis is a really good ball player. I would not be okay. I would definitely be okay with him as a second option.
And his deal, even more, is first not option. Bad. His deal is not a bad deal compared to today's baseball.
No, it's not at all. And I mean, it does go up over the years. I think in the later years, he's getting paid like $36 million a year, which is, like I said, in today's baseball, it's not that bad. It's really not. So I would definitely explore that. Obviously, you're going to have to give up a lot because he's controlled, though. He's under contract. It's not a one-year guy. So you're going to have to give up, good prospects to get that done.
Yeah. The bullpen is doable because, like I said, there's a ton of guys out there. You can do that. You got 3 starting pitchers coming back off injury, which I didn't even know Rodon was hurt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just had something cleaned up. I think it was like bone spurs or something like that. I forget exactly. But he'll be out first couple weeks of the season, they said. But he should be okay. I'm not too worried about that. And you got Cole coming back, and Schmidt is going to take a little bit longer to come back. But we have a lot of depth to start in pitching, to be honest with you. Like that's the one strength of the team. So I'm not worried there. And they have a lot of young guys in the minors that throw gas. They can be brought up or they can be used in trades.
So I'm going to throw something out there for you, right? Mm-hmm. You trade Cole and let these young guys take the position there, and then you have that money to bring in, let's say, a Tatis in that deal.
I mean, do you need to do that? Why do you need to do that?
Well, here's what I'm looking at, right? He's getting up there in age. He's coming off an arm injury. And if somebody's willing to take that off you, right? Because he can come back great or he can come back not so good, right?
And certainly,
And you bring in a player like Tatis, and then you go and sign another player for another pitcher. I don't even know if you have to sign him, because these young guys, if they're that good, I mean, Slitner. I mean, he looked phenomenal in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs, he looked fantastic. Yeah. But listen, small sample size too. Mm-hmm. I think he's talented. I think he can be very, very good. I loved what I saw. But I'm not going to say, like, okay, we have an ace here after, a handful of starts second half of the season. You just can't do that. Mm-hmm. If you're banking on him to be, all-star next year, I think you're a little crazy. He could be, and he could be great, but you gotta have the horses to do it. And Cole's been there. Cole's, been in the playoffs, won Cy Young, has done all this shit already. Mm-hmm. I'm not really willing to give him up right now. I'd rather trade, if you could, like Rodon. If you could trade him, sure. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
I'd love to still have Fried and Cole, because they didn't even get to pitch together last year. You know what I mean? Two guys like that at the top of the rotation, that's what I really want.
All right. So my only thing, again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, right? It's your team. You know him a lot better. Let's say you trade Rodon and keep Cole, and Cole cannot pitch the way he pitched before he got hurt. Now you're down two pitches. So that's why I look at it.
But you don't know, any of these guys can go down at any point or not pitch. I mean, Rodon's been a roller coaster of a ride with his few seasons in New York. He's been, the first couple seasons were not great. Last season or season before was pretty good. Last season was okay. Like he hasn't been the ace guy that you thought he was coming from the Giants.
Okay. Well, part of that reasoning is, and it's really weird, because what would you get for Cole? Because don't forget, the other GM is thinking the same thing. Like, I don't know what I'm getting.
But that's the thing. I mean, you're trading a guy, both those guys coming off injuries, are really hard to trade guys coming off injuries.
Absolutely.
It's not something like everyone's signing up to do. Although, I don't know if you saw the trade. I know you saw the trade, but the trade of Grayson Rudd, what's his name? From the Orioles, Rodriguez, right? He got traded to the Angels. Right. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do any medical testing on him. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. He was injured all last year and they did not do any medical testing on him.
Oh, wait.
Isn't that insane?
Are you talking about the guy that was the ace of that staff and they got hurt last year?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think his name was Richardson.
No, Rodriguez. Isn't it Rodriguez? Grayson Rodriguez?
Grayson, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He got, if I have his name wrong, I'm sorry, but he got traded from the Orioles to the Angels, and the Angels did no medical testing to check how sound his arm is. That makes no sense.
Wow. Wow.
Well, that's like a fireable offense if this kid comes in and he's hurt.
Wow. This is what they do all the time, the Angels. It's a shame.
It's a shame. I mean, I liked the trade when they did it. I was like, oh, that's a nice trade for them. Mm-hmm. I figured they would have checked the guy out to make sure that, hey, his arm's okay. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand from the Orioles perspective, like, they have no pitching. You have a good offense. They have no pitching.
Wow, this is crazy.
Very strange to me.
I'm trying to look it up now, what his name is, because it is
Grayson Rodriguez. Yeah, I was right. Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, totally insane.
Angels acquired him.
Yep.
For left fielder, Taylor Ward.
Yeah, Taylor Ward, who's a pretty good hitter.
That's not enough for that guy.
I totally agree. I just was like, I was floored when that came through. I was like, okay, why would you do that? And again, this is coming from a team that's in our division. I'm happy they got rid of a pitcher that could be really good. So, whatever.
Wow, this article is really crazy. It said he only had bone spurs, right? So That was
but he
surgery.
Was out all season.
He was out all season. He's expected to be ready for spring training. Is under control till 2029.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And I think Ward only has 1 year of control, maybe two.
Okay.
I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
It is. It is interesting. That's for sure.
My point I was making about this injured pitcher. Mm-hmm. I mean, most times you're not going to trade for an injured pitcher, which the Angels did though.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows?
Imagine you could have got for Cole. Interesting.
I wouldn't be trading Cole in division to the Orioles, but yeah.
All right. So who's your third baseman?
Unfortunately, it's Ryan McMahon right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I told you last year, you like the trade. I'm like, it's not a good player. He's not good, and he's a lot of money.
Okay. It's the money that I don't like. He's not a bad player. I disagree there. He's a fantastic defensive player.
Okay.
He changed the second half of that team playing defense. He was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, he swings at fucking everything.
It's
literally
annoying.
Fucking anything. he never sees a pitch he doesn't like to swing at. But he had some good moments in the playoffs. I don't totally hate the player. He's just got to work on not swinging at goddamn every pitch.
Yeah.
If we could move and get something else, trust me, Machado would be amazing. I mean, he's getting up there in age too, though. But, you know, I don't see them making a move unless they can dump that $17 million. I don't know how you do that.
Oh, I know. That's a lot.
And we don't have prospects that are coming up that are third baseman. I mean, you could move Lombard to third base, I guess, but we also have a problem at shortstop with Volpe. So, you know, that's not good either.
Well, MLB had a thing today on Volpe, which was really interesting. Really, really interesting. You had a they compared his swing from high school to today. And what they were saying was his lower half is the problem. He's not staying back on the ball, and it's causing him to actually have I guess he's trying to pull everything, right?
And he is. You can tell. He's always trying to swing for the fences, which a guy like that should be trying to get on base. He's got speed.
Exactly. So
doesn't make a lot of sense.
It was very interesting. All right, so you got Chaz at second. All right.
Chaz at second, yeah.
And first base is?
Well, it's, you know, depending on what happens, but it's Rice as of now, mm-hmm. right? Who had a great season. He broke out last year, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good player. But they're still talking about that, the Japanese guy. You know, not only from the guy who plays first and third, they're also talking about the pitcher from Japan as well. So there's a couple moves they can make. They also have, I mean, from a third base perspective, Oswaldo Cabrera is coming back. He's more of a utility guy, but mm-hmm. he can play third, and he was playing third last year. So there's some things there, but I don't know. The infield's kind of up in flux. The Yankees I think Cashman's got to get real creative this offseason. You can't really run it back with what you kind of were putting on the field last year. Not that they were bad, but they got to do something better.
All
and,
right.
You know, there's interesting people out there, like the Corey Seager thing that's popped up in the last couple of days. I love the player. He's another guy who just can't stay healthy. That's what I worry about.
Right.
I love him on the Yankees. I wanted to sign him a couple years ago when he was a free agent. They didn't do it because they, you know, said Volpe was the next coming of Jesus, which didn't fucking happen, obviously. But I worry that he's basically been hurt every single year for the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, you want to talk about influx? Let's talk about the Mets.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what is the GM going to do? Stearns has got a lot of stuff going on. You gambled with Alonso, and last year you got him, I'm not going to say cheap, because it was $30 million a year, right?
Yeah, but he lived up to the contract.
Lived up to the contract, and now you got to do it again. I think you lost, right? You gambled, and basically I think you lost. You won for a year, but now you lost. And I think you got to give him five minimum, probably 6 years. And here's how I handle this, right? Because, again, he's got Scott Boris, which I despise the man.
I despise the man.
Yep. But I would go and say, Pete, we want you to be a Met. We're going to give you the sixth year. We're going to give you $27 million for 6 years. I'm going to let you know you have basically a couple days to accept, or I'm moving on because I can't have this extended thing like last year. Because you're too big of a part to replace. I can't wait late in the offseason. Your agent likes to wait. I can't do it. So I'm going to give you the 6 years. It basically is a take it or leave it. If you want to come back and say $29 million, I'll even do 29 million, but you know, but I'm offering 27 just right off the bat, 6 years. Let's get this done this week and get an answer. If he says no, I hate to lose. He's a homegrown player that I want him to be like a David Wright all the way through. So it's really tough.
That's the thing. But do you want to do that to a guy like that? That's my point. And then what do you, okay, you give him that ultimatum. You say, take it this week or leave it. What's your backup plan?
Well, again, there's the Japanese guy. You got Vientos going to first base. I mean, there's, and then you got to go out and get other hitters because you can't replace, you know, 39 home runs, right?
Yeah, you can't replace 40 home runs a season and a guy that plays every single game.
Yep.
Like I heard something the other day. I mean, in the last 4 or 5 years, I think he's missed like maybe 10 games, maybe 15 total.
Which is huge, right? Which is huge. Now, maybe you should take a day off or two just to get a breather, right?
Oh yeah, I mean that's a different story. But the fact that the guy's never really hurt, he shows up and pretty much puts the same numbers up every year. You know, the back of his baseball card is the same almost every year. I mean, I know 2 years ago he didn't have the best season, but he was still hitting home runs. And he still came through in the playoffs. You know, like he's a homegrown guy. I mean, it's like I know he's not the superstar of the Judges, but it's your version of that guy from your team. He came up in the farm system, he's been there. He's everyone loves the guy kind of thing. It would be a real shame if they lose him.
It would be. And, you know, listen, is he pissed off at how the Mets treated him last year? Yeah, I don't know.
Definitely.
Right? He got a lot of flack on his defense this year because he kept getting the pitches hurt with his bad throws.
Yeah, that did happen. That did happen, yeah.
Right? So I think that, you know, maybe, you know, in his mind, I got to get out of here.
But he also said, if you're worried about me at first base, he's willing to be the DH. So like whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Tim Steiner would be your DH.
Yep.
Now I'm going to go out and get a good fielding first baseman.
And I'm going to tell you this, the way I look at things too, right? If he leaves New York, right? There's very few places that I think that he can go and be very successful. Cause ballparks matter. I know he hits long home runs. I get it. But if he went to Houston, Philly, Boston, I think he hits 50 home runs in either one of those stadiums.
Yeah, he probably can.
Right? Yeah. So I think that's a possibility. But the Mets really got to – I would love for them to sign him, and I'm going to have to say, got to give him the 6 years. I was on TikTok last year screaming, like, you're disrespecting this guy. You got to be kidding me. Like, to me, it was like, once you get into January, you got him over the coals. He's got nowhere to go. Give him a fair contract, right? I don't like the opt-outs. I hate opt-outs because if the guy plays well, he's opting out.
He's opting out. Yep. So, and if he doesn't play well, then you're stuck with the contract.
You're stuck with a contract.
It never favors the team. It only favors the player.
Right. So I'm not big on that. So now the other main guy is Diaz, right? Now, here's my deal. Yes. He's the best closer, in my opinion, in baseball. And he's perfect for New York.
He's right there. He's right there.
He's right. He's perfect for New York. Unlike like Devin Williams, who came over and was not great in New York. Right?
No, he had a better down the stretch run, but he wasn't closing. So he just didn't have the whatever for New York. I mean, again, I think he got better, got more comfortable. But he's not embraced it. You know, but you got to remember Diaz had a tough time in the beginning too.
Yes, he did. So I'm going to give him basically a little more leeway because I think he's a guy and there's a couple of guys out there right now. So there are replacements, not him, right? Not him, but there are guys out there that you can build your whole bullpen around. What I would do is I'm going to give you 4 years. I think he's okay with 4 years. And it might cost you 25 to 30 million a year, unfortunately.
That's too much. $30 million a year for a closer?
I get it. I'm not going to go there first. I'm going to go out with, you know, 4 years at 25. I'm going to go.
I think 25 is too much, to be honest with you. Who's the highest paid closer in the game right now? I don't think they're north of 20, are they?
No, I get it. I get it. And we're going to be killing the market, right? I get it.
I just think you're overpaying. I think you're, yeah, I think you're
but the literally Mets killing the market. The Mets can't. They need him or they've got to go out and get somebody like that, which is not easy.
No, it's not easy.
But the
it's
guy I'm thinking is Mason Miller, right? There's two guys in that team with Suarez and Miller. You got to look at one of those guys and bring them here if you lose Diaz.
Yeah, but you got to trade for them.
Oh, yeah. You know, absolutely.
That's a So the, yeah, and this goes back to San Diego if they're selling off. But if they're not, they're not going to trade. They're probably not trading. I heard they were talking about
as an eighth inning guy is a waste.
Yeah, they're talking about making him a starter again.
A starter, okay.
He came up as a starter.
Yeah, of course.
He was getting hurt. He was getting hurt too much.
Right.
So they moved into the pen. Yeah, he's incredible. I love that kid. But we'll see. I mean, again, if they're trading off, yeah, I'd be lining up to get Mason Miller. All right. Mets wouldn't be the only team. Trust me.
Yeah. I'm all for young guys, right? I'm all for it. And like we had a little text before when I was making fun of the Yankees, like you're saying, oh, these guys are coming up in the, you know, the minor leaguers are great. And every team does that, right? Every team blows up their minor leaguers.
Of course, that's what they do.
I got to tell you, I love McLean. I think he basically the only guy you trade him for is Skeens, right? And if you get Skeens, you give up him and other guys, right? That's the only way you get, I trade McLean.
I totally understand that, McLean. Just like Schlittler, what I was saying before, though.
It's short.
It's a short sample size. Mm-hmm. He was incredible. Do not get me wrong. I think the kid's got immense talent, and he can be awesome, and he was awesome. But it's a short sample size. Mm-hmm. But if you can make that trade and you can get Skeens, same thing. I'd drive Schlittler to the airport tomorrow. if it meant getting Skeens, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's probably not happening right now. Skeens will get traded at some point. I don't know if it's this year.
Okay. Well, like I said, that's the only guy I would trade him for. And nobody else.
Yeah, same. I'm kind of with you. Yeah.
Now, Sprout, I think he's not a number one. I think Sprout could be a number three. So I would trade him. The guy, Young.
Tong.
Whatever you say his name. I think he is phenomenal. Very young. Was not ready. But unfortunately, he might be a guy that has to go in the trade to bring in somebody, right? Especially if you go get Scooble, right? Which, again, I would not do. I would go for Joe Ryan. I think Joe Ryan is a doable guy to get. I think there's uncertainty with the contract, collective bargaining agreement. And I think you're going to see people aren't going to wait to July to make the trades because in July – they're not going to know if there's going to be a lockout. So I don't think you're going to get back a return that you think you're going to get in July. I think the trades will happen in the offseason.
Well, maybe. It's possible.
So I'm hoping the Mets go out for Joe Ryan. I like Joe Ryan. He's not a star.
What about guys like Peralta or Alcantara or any of those guys?
Peralta is very good. Freddie Peralta, right? Alcantara, I'm a little worried about his. It could be better next year because the injury that he had, right? He did not pitch great. I had him in the fantasy and I had to drop him because
I did too. You know, he pitched better again down the. Listen, he killed the Mets at the end of the season.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
They lined him up just to play against the Mets so he could beat them. So,
but the one thing that cannot happen, that happened last year. Right, even if you get back Alonso and Diaz and stuff, and you can't go into this in the season with the same team, is the pitching. I hope David Stearns realized you cannot keep going to the well to get these retreads and expect them to contribute and lead the team. That was a big failure. We led the league in ERA into June, maybe even July, and completely fell off the face of the earth. Now, why? It's Major League Baseball in particular, but if you look at Ottavino, what he just said, the Mets do not know how to run a bullpen, right? Adam,
no.
I respect what you say, but the starting pitchers don't get past the fifth inning. What do you want the manager to do?
No, the Mets made a terrible mistake. And you actually said, if you go back to the podcast we did last year, you said exactly this, that these guys are going to break down because none of them have pitched over 120 innings or whatever the hell it was. And it was going to happen, and it happened exactly that way.
Yep.
You can't go into a season with all these guys coming off injuries or guys that just haven't pipped and freaking starters in years like Clay Holmes. You know, you cannot do that. You can't go into a season with guys that just haven't pitched enough innings because they're going to break down. You need to go in and you need to have some sort of ace, if not two, to get through this season. I just don't see it if the Mets run back the same pitchers out there. That I think is almost more important than anything. Obviously, you need Alonso, you need Diaz. Don't get me wrong. All that stuff's very, very important. But if you just get those guys, like you said, and you do not get any starting pitching, you're just running back the same team. You're not going to win.
Well, the other thing that I have a problem with is catching. This kid has got a great. Where you think he's going to be great, right? But every time you think he's going, he gets hurt. And I don't think you can really give him much longer of a chance, Alvarez, before you have to trade him, because it's hurting the team that you keep bringing him back, and then he goes in a power slump because his hands are messed up. You can't hit without your hands.
No, totally.
So I think I like Torrens. He did very well, but...
Yeah, you're welcome for that.
Yeah, right. But I don't think he's a bona fide starter either. I think he's a bench catcher.
Yeah, he's a number two catcher.
Right, and I unfortunately think there's an issue at catcher. Vientos, I think it potentially can bounce back because, you know, a lot of sophomores, right, have the sophomore slump, and he still had 17 home runs, and he hit 233, which is not great, right? But it's not the worst in around, right? There's a lot worse than that, 17 home runs and 233. But I think he's another young guy that if you put him in Fenway, I think he'll hit 30 to 40 home runs in Fenway. But I know you don't want him there, but I get it. Right. But I think I think he's going to be a trade piece, be honest with you.
Certainly could be. And then with the way Beatty played, you don't necessarily need him, especially if Alonso back.
Right.
You don't need to have Vientos. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how it flips, right? You're going into last year, into the season, you're like, oh, Vientos off the season he had. Prior year, you're like, oh, this kid's great. He's gonna build on what he did, and he fell off the map, right? And Beatty, on the other hand, who was everyone's calling a quadruple A player, finally broke through a little bit.
Yeah,
so it just you never know how it goes.
No, you never know. So I think the Mets got a lot of work to do, and Stearns is a great GM for Milwaukee. I don't know if he's built for New York. And I still hate the Soto signing as much as I like Soto. I just think that it's too much money for basically an outfielder that would rather walk than drive the run in. And he's great. He's great. I'm not going to take it away from him. He's not worth that money, though. And it kind of skews the whole payroll. Like, if you're Alonso, why should he get paid that? And pay me the money. I'm here.
No. Listen, Soto's a great player, but to your point, does anybody deserve that? I mean, maybe Judge, maybe Ohtani, but that's about it.
Just a couple more things I wanted to ask you. Number one, what'd you think of Judge getting the MVP?
I think it was totally deserved.
All right, he played 90-something games. You know that, right?
What?
He only played 90-something games.
What are you talking about?
He played 90.
He was only out for like 2 weeks.
I saw an MLB today that he played 90-something games. He had 33 home runs and 80-something RBIs.
Judge?
Yeah, that's what it had in MLB. I could be wrong, but that's what it had.
He had over 50 home runs, Phil.
So they must have been doing averages or something. I have no idea what they're talking about.
I don't know what you're looking at. He had 52 home runs.
Okay, so scratch that. If I did editing, I would edit that out, but I'm going to look stupid. That's all right.
No.
I got the MLB. I don't know what they were talking about.
He led Cal Raleigh in pretty much every category besides home runs. And maybe RBIs, I forget. Mm-hmm. But everything else was basically WAR, OPS, OPS+. His OPS, I believe it was the difference between him and Raleigh, and then Raleigh to the next guy that would have, like, the difference, is, like, the worst player in baseball. Like, Judge was so far above everybody else, so far ahead of Raleigh. It was insane. Mm-hmm. In all these categories. Listen, Cal Raleigh was amazing, and playing catcher is incredibly hard, and I'm not taking that away from him at all. But Judge's season was another unworldly season that you cannot not give him the MVP.
You know what's funny? I had Judge, I think, in my fantasy league.
You did.
So I don't know how I didn't remember that.
I had Raleigh, by the way.
All right, non-tender players. Adolis. Garcia.
Yeah.
I think definitely the Mets should look at him.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
All right. There's Jonan Heim. Not really somebody I think that the Mets should look at. I know I just was complaining about Alvarez, and he's a catcher, but I don't think he's the answer there. But Evan Phillips is a guy I would try. He's a bullpen guy, had Tommy John. He won't be back until middle of the season. But mm-hmm. what an arm he had for the Dodgers beforehand. So I really would go with try to get him. And
yeah.
out of
yeah.
these guys, the only other guy I would look at is Alek Manoah, where he came up, looked phenomenal for Toronto, and then was terrible, right? And then left
oh, yeah.
and went over to Atlanta and was not good there. So he'd be one of those retread guys, but it's a possibility. I would go for him, to be honest with you.
There's a couple things on. With Manoah. Manoah talked, first of all, he used to talk a lot of shit when he was in Toronto about the Yankees, so don't like him to start. But mm-hmm. he also was a guy that I think got really affected by the pitch clock. And he was a guy that would take a sweet-ass time pitching, and then the pitch clock came in, and he completely just fell apart. I don't think he managed his time well, trying to get ready to set up for a pitch.
Okay. And I just sent you a text message for the Hall of Fame players that are up for this year, and I wanted to ask you your opinion on that. I have a lot of opinions on that.
I got to look at the text, but yeah. Right. I kind of know who's up there. I mean, if you just read them off to me.
Okay, so right off the bat, they got Bobby Abreu. No. I'm not putting him in Hall of Fame
no.
right now.
I liked Abreu. He was on the Yankees, but no, he's not a Hall mm-hmm. of Famer.
Carlos Beltran, I think, is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree.
Ryan Braun, he's borderline to me.
Borderline, I could see him. Yeah, I could see him getting in. But
eventually, I just don't know about this year.
Yeah.
Mark Burley.
He also had, didn't Braun have steroid issue
yeah.
stuff?
I'm going to vote no on him because I'm not.
Yeah, I'm just trying to recall he had something with that.
He had something, but I think that was the same like Andy Pettitte when he was hurt and he took it to help come back from an injury, but I'm not
saying anything either way. I'm just saying he did have some mm-hmm. controversy in his career when it comes to that stuff.
Okay. So Mark Burley, Shin Soo Chu.
Good player, not awesome. Carcion,
no. Gonzalez, I don't know why these guys are even on here. Alec Gordon, no.
Nope.
Cole Hamels, I think, is a good, very good possibility.
He's right there, borderline-ish.
Mm-hmm. Felix Hernandez, I'm going to go with no right now, but he's another borderline guy because I think he had two Cy Youngs.
You know what? If I like him better than Hamels. I think he was a better pitcher than Hamels. Hamels probably pitched a little longer
and pitched in the playoffs. Like, I mean, was dominant in the playoffs.
No, totally. I agree with you. I'm just saying, I think they're both pretty close. You know what I mean? Like I'd have a hard time saying no on King Felix. He was very dominant for a long time too. He was a good pitcher. So I don't know. It could go either way, but I wouldn't be upset. If he got it, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's egregious.
So if I'm going to vote for, let's say, three guys, right? I'm not voting for him this year. Right, that's what I'm getting at. Andrew Jones yep. to me belongs in the Hall of Fame.
100%.
I think it's a shame he's not in there right now.
I agree.
I here's another interesting one, Dustin Pedroia. I know you probably don't like him because he's a Red Sox, but
no, I don't like him. But
he was phenomenal second baseman for.
Yeah,
I just don't think it was long enough.
Again, I wouldn't have an issue if he got in. I mean, he was a very good player. He was amazing in the playoffs. You know, I could see the case, you mm-hmm. know?
I'm skipping some guys I think no reason to mention them.
What do we think is going to happen now? Because there's all the, you know, there's still the...
Well, here's what I'm saying.
No, the Veterans Committee.
I'll get there. But Pettit, no. Manny, unfortunately, I'm going to say no because of steroids. A-Rod, mm-hmm. no. K-Rod, I'm going to say no. Chase Utley, Vizquel... They're borderline right now. I'm going to go no because I'm going to go with David Wright as my third. So I'm going to go with Beltran, Andrew Jones, and David Wright as my three. And you can make fun of David Wright. His career was shortened.
I'm not.
Because of the back injury.
Because I'm going to laugh because I want Mattingly in.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to go at. We'll go at next. But I think that those guys, there's a lot of guys that are worthy on here, but a lot of them are not. And I think they'll be off their list after 1 year.
Yeah, probably.
Veteran committee, here's my problem. Mattingly belongs in the Hall of Fame, right?
He does.
Absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame. What he did is sort of like Sandy Koufax for hitters,
yep.
right?
Totally.
I also believe that Keith Hernandez belongs in the Hall of Fame. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. And I'm not going to compare the two and say, you know, Keith is just as good as Madeline, because I don't believe in that time period. That's true. Over the course of the career, though, Keith had a longer career.
Yeah, I've had this argument many times with many people. If you look at their numbers, they're straight numbers. They have very, very similar numbers, right? Yeah. Both won an MVP. You know, I think Keith has 12 gold gloves and Mattingly has 9. You know, they both, you know, Keith ever won a batting title? I mean, Mattingly did win a batting title. But, their careers are very similar. Their numbers are very similar. Keith played longer than Mattingly. Mattingly did those numbers in a shorter time period. Obviously, his back got the better of him, just like David Wright. Mm-hmm. And that's what sapped his career. If you put those two players in front of me and, like, who would I choose on my team in their prime, it's Mattingly over Hernandez. That's not to say that Keith shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying I think Mattingly was a better player.
Okay.
I'm also a biased Yankee fan, so, I mean, that's part of it. But he was my childhood hero.
But
I do think the argument is there.
It's a shame that the year after he retires, they win the World Series.
Yes, I know. I felt so bad for him, too, on the Blue Jays. To lose, you know, at least
and not get to the World
Series
again.
Yeah, it's just like, that's just heartbreaking, you know, and the way they lost too. I mean, that World Series was so heartbreaking, and IKF to screw it up too, which was even more ridiculous as a Yankee fan to watch.
You know what it is though, Chris, and this is my complaint about baseball. I'm going to tell you, I am rooting for a lockout work stoppage, and I am rooting for a salary cap and a floor, right? I don't think you could do one or the other. You could say that.
I know because you want to. I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm not saying you're not right. I'm just saying I don't think it's going to happen. And I know why you want it too, because the Dodgers are ridiculous. I totally understand.
It's ridiculous. The Dodgers are ridiculous. There's one after another. It's insane the team they put
together. Worse than the Yankees ever were with this shit.
Absolutely. With the deferred stuff. Absolutely. And I want them to sit there and go, we're going to put a cap in. And how are you going to handle this now? Because we're going to count your deferred money against the cap.
That's the problem. How do you do that when the rules are in place that they were fine to do it then? I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. I think you got to go forward basis.
You got to do something like a 50% of those salaries. I don't know how to be honest with you, how they would do it. But for people that say that it will never happen, do you know the last last collective bargaining agreement, management of the baseball players said, we're not accepting this, and the players overwhelmingly accepted it, right? The same thing with the testing that went out, right? The union management said, we're not accepting testing, and the players said, we need this. So there's precedent that they can turn around and be like, guys, it's not right. Like, what's going to happen when Dela Cruz comes to be a free agent? What happens to Cincinnati?
It can't
exist like this. It can't.
It can, but here's the thing. Are you going to tell me that the owner of the Dodgers, their conglomerate, are going to agree to paying a shit ton more money now because of the contracts they signed when that was the way that the collective bargaining agreement was?
Something they got to work on. I'm not
I just don't see it.
There's something they got to work on. There's a lot. But those small market teams have got to stick together. They can't cave. And you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I want to see the battle.
Those small market teams, a bunch of them make a ton of money because they get the revenue sharing and they don't fucking put it back
in
baseball.
I know that's the argument you guys make, but I want to
answer. But it's not an argument I make. It's the truth in what happens.
Okay.
Now, you do have to do something different. You can't just have these teams not spend money, right? So the Pirates, they cry poverty, but they're not fucking poor. They just don't put money into the team.
All right, let me ask you a question, right? You're the Pirates. You got a decent young farm guys, right?
They do. They have the best pitcher in baseball, arguably. Right.
Is it going to make a difference to go out and spend on one guy? Because they're businessmen. They're not looking to lose money. And what a lot of people say is they're not losing money because they're making money elsewhere. Well, every business is different, right?
Well, you can't say the Mets lost money.
Well, the Mets lost money, right, and that's my point. If he looks at it as a business, the baseball unit itself as a business, he lost $300 million or something like that, right? I think it was
the
like...
The Mets lost a ton of money, yeah. Something crazy.
Right? But, you know, now you put in SNY, you put in this, and maybe it shrinks the number a little. But every business is different. That shouldn't be... You shouldn't put them all together, which is what the baseball players try to do. You know, you're getting the local contracts, you're getting the parking, you're getting, which they get a percentage of. You're getting the refreshments. Again, you get a percentage of it. Mm-hmm. But that's not the baseball team. That's ancillary businesses. And
yeah.
I don't think you can include that, the jersey sales. I don't think you should include that. It should be what you're making as a franchise. What are you making money as? If you want to look at Steve Cohen's business, yes. But you can't look at the New York Mets, right? You're not going to put in what he does with his trading included. It's the same thing to me. Those small market teams, to go out and buy one more player just to get it over a floor is not going to change the needle.
Yeah, but they're not competitive. This is the point. They're not competitive. Like, people don't go to the games because the Pirates aren't competitive. They don't even, they basically don't try.
Like I said, if they go out and let's say, who's a free agent? Let's say they go out and they get Bellinger to play center field. Does that make them a playoff team? It makes them a playoff team? I don't think so.
With the young kids that they have, maybe, you know, I mean, again, they have great pitching with Skeens and some of these other guys that are coming up. You know, I know Jones got hurt last year, and they have that other kid who's supposed
Keller.
To be very good. You don't know. Like, these things can turn around. Look at the Reds last year. They made the playoffs, right?
They made the playoffs because the Mets collapsed.
Well, they made the playoffs. That's the point.
But you could say that. But hold on. I predicted the Reds would win the division because of their young players coming up and their pitchers. The pitchers got hurt again, so they didn't win the division. They came at the end and made the playoffs. But now how many years do you think they're going to last before they have to start trading the players? That's my point.
I understand.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, but some teams have figured this out. Sometimes they sign their players early on. Mm-hmm. And, like, look at Atlanta. Atlanta signed all those guys. I mean, I know Atlanta's not the same as Cincinnati. Don't get me wrong. But they're not the Yankees or the Mets or the Dodgers or whatever. They signed all these kids to good deals when they were younger.
Yes. Yes.
Like, they signed Acuna to – I mean, Acuna's the biggest steal in baseball, even though he's hurt, you know,
last two years, right? So,
But it's still – you paid nothing – for what he when he plays, what you're paying him is peanuts.
Now let's say the injuries start to take a toll on him, and now he's not as good as now. You're stuck with that contract. Now again, it was a
totally,
great contract,
you,
right?
You got to gamble, but look at this, you know, the on the flip side, and this is that's something I hate about the Yankees. They never negotiate with these players when they're younger, and they wait till they get to be free agents. And sometimes that'll work out where that guy didn't come to be what you thought he was going to be. But sometimes then you get in a situation where you might lose the guy, like we almost lost Judge, right? Like, you could have locked him up earlier for a better count. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't do it. It's a gamble.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I just think that there's got to be an answer. It's not forcing the bottom teams to pay more money. I think that's part of it. But they've got to control spending on the top. Listen, the Mets are there. I know.
Their payroll's insane. It's right. More than the Yankees, right? So
I get it. You guys are gonna be over $300 million, right? $300 million is the number
right
he
now
wants to
right,
be at.
Right,
you're 280.
Right now we're at 275.
Okay. So I know he said 300 is the number he wants to be
there's
at.
There's no way unless they can cut some of these contracts that they can stand at $300 million and be a competitive team.
And you've seen this now the last couple of years where you guys have been like, we want this player, but you're not getting him because he's staying fiscally responsible. But the Dodgers are not. The Mets are not.
Yeah, but you say that. But last year, I would argue they did exactly. They spent a ton of money last year, and they didn't get Soto, but they offered him a $700 million deal, and he didn't take it.
Right.
But then
you
they went
got,
and
got, you
and
got
they,
free.
They went and got free. They spent money last year.
Right, but they wouldn't have got free if they signed Soto for that contract.
Totally, but I mean, yeah, you can't do it all.
Right,
I mean,
and that's great. Like I said, I'm a purist. I love the 70s, even though the same teams won. You had the Reds, the A's, the Orioles, all good teams, right? And they were dynasties, the Dodgers. But what would happen is the Reds were great, the Dodgers, right? And they were 1-2. And then occasionally, you know, don't forget, the Giants were great before that. Then they fell down and somebody else came up because they built the farm system coming up and they still got those teams. So if you did a good job in your farm system, you might wait a couple years before you have to make a comeback, but you would make a comeback. Now with free agency, it's just basically You got 3 years to win, or if you're in Cincinnati, or you're done. If you don't win in that,
yeah, but there's been there also, to your point, in those years, and I understand what you're saying, that they, you know, they kept their cores together, and that's why they won. But now there's a lot more parity in baseball. I know the Dodgers won, you know, have won a bunch lately, but prior to that, there weren't like these teams winning at back-to-back years. It hasn't really happened since the Yankees.
Yep.
In the 90s.
All right, listen, Chris, we'll have a lot to talk about the rest of this offseason. Oh, yeah. I know this is going to come up even further, and we'll get together again, and hopefully Adam can join us, you know. I tried to get him on, but, you know, I don't know, he's trying to negotiate over here.
He needs a sponsorship. You know? Get Nike on the phone.
I wish we had a sponsor like that, all right? So, anyway, Chris, I want to thank you very much for coming on to the show. I'm going to try to find this. How do you like my new song, by the way?
Nice.
Not bad, right?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Take care, Chris.
All right. Take it easy. Bye. Some of you people, act like you ain't never had a man before. I tell you the truth. But when Uncle Phil drops his podcast, baby, you know you're going to want some more. Podcast is gonna get you loose. Come on.